We're going to hear one of those stories now. He's going to read to us from Matthew's Gospel.
Good morning, Dad.
Good morning.
Praise God. We are reading from Matthew chapter 7, from verses 24 to 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Those songs stick in our minds. Jesus told loads of different stories about everyday things. He talked about lost coins, he talked about mustard seeds, he talked about fishing and sheep and shepherds, about grain and growing, all kinds of things that the people listening at the time would have been very familiar with, that really helped them to grasp a bit more about who God is and what it was like to follow him. So today I'm going to share some everyday things of mine. Some things from our holiday. So don't worry, there's not got lots of photographs. I'm not taking you through 27 pictures of a monument somewhere. I made some notes when I came home from holiday. I thought, well, maybe that'll turn into a sermon. And then when I was thinking and praying about what to preach about today, I thought, gosh, it seemed a long time. It seemed a long time since our summer holiday. But I reread through the notes and thought, you know what? It might have been my summer holiday back in August, which is a whole very long 8-week half term before. But when I reread them, they're still everyday things, I think, that are relevant for us in our lives today. I don't know which one of them might speak to you most. I don't know whether God's going to encourage you or challenge you today, or just help you recognise him even more in your everyday life. So, here we are at some holiday. So, first thing is about having a firm foundation. So we're camping, you know, we like to camp in the summer. We got to our campsite. It's always a bit of jeopardy because you're never quite sure. They always make them look amazing on the photographs. So when you get there, you're never quite sure how it will be. We got the tent up easily. It's a great location, which for us means it's quiet. We had our tea sat outside with the views of the Welsh hills around us. There's lots of great things about camping. I have to say, probably the worst is the unpredictability of the airbed. So we got a fairly new airbed. First night, we pumped it up, it's nice and big, thick, chunky one. We got to bed, it felt great. But gradually, as the night went on, we realised there was a bit of a problem. It got a bit more wobbly, a bit less firm. One person on an airbed that's a bit dodgy is not great. Two people is even worse. Because every time the other person moves, the whole thing wobbles. It's like being on the sea, they feel a bit seasick. It's not a great experience. So the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the passage Naomi read for us, was right at the end. Jesus told this story about the wise and foolish builders, about how what we build our life on really matters, about the foundation, the basis that our life is built on. Wishful thinking, other people's ideas, current trends, they might seem okay for a time, but as soon as the storms come, and life has lots of storms, as soon as the storms come, we realise they're not enough. They're going to let us down. They're not going to be firm enough. They're not going to support us when we need supporting. Instead, we need a firm foundation that we can rely on, something that's not going to let us down. In the New Testament, the Bible talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. Now, I know I've told this, used this illustration before, but it's worth repeating. So Emma and I were reading about the cornerstone, and I'm like, well, I don't understand quite what that is, but I know somebody who does. My sister-in-law, Lindsay, is an architect, so we rang her and we said, tell us about the cornerstone, Lindsay. She said before they had foundations, they would find the biggest, flattest stone they could, and then they'd pile everything else on top. If the cornerstone, the biggest, flattest stone, was strong enough, the wall that they built would stay firm. All the stones would stay together, and it would hold everything up. If they made a bad choice and it wasn't quite strong enough, the wall eventually collapses. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is the thing that whatever goes on the top, we're going to stand. When we're under pressure, it shows us what our life is built on. Lots of references in the Bible, especially in the Psalms, about God being our rock, our stronghold, our fortress, solid and reliable, a firm foundation. In the book of 1 Samuel, Hannah said, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Fortunately, God is a lot more reliable than our slightly dubious effort. So that's the first thing, is to think what our life, our foundation, the basis that supports the whole of the rest of our life. The second thing I wrote down is about the trip we took to Devil's Bridge. So we often go to the Netherlands, lots of you know. We had a change this year, we were camping near Aberystwyth. Now we packed Aberystwyth partly because it's on the coast, we'll come to that later, but partly, if I'm honest, because it's in a game that as children we played ever such a lot. We had this amazing game which still gets passed around my family in a very battered box now. And it's a map of Britain and there's train lines and you go and visit all the different places. Now my geography of Britain is pretty much based on that game. Because, and actually if you speak to Adam he would say the same thing. We spend hours as children playing this game. So each place has a card. If it's a blue card, that means it's trickier to get to. They're more checkered. This is Aberystwyth's card. You actually did take on holiday. Every place had a picture and like a local attraction. So I've had years of playing this game and seeing this picture of Devil's Bridge with no real clue what it was. But we're going to Aberystwyth, so of course we've got to go to Devil's Bridge to go and have a look. So before we go, we researched it. I looked up how far it was, what was to do, what you could do when you get there, how long you might spend. And it's on our list of while we're away, this is something we're going to do. And many of you know, when we went away, David's mum was in hospital, we weren't sure how much of our week away we would actually get to have. So we decided that we needed to go here first to make sure we'd actually be. So we went away on a Sunday, we went to Devil's Bridge on the Monday. We've even got a photograph of me stood holding the card with the picture of the bridge behind us. You have to do these things, don't you? The point is, though, the thing that God said to me about that was, it's so easy to put off things. It's so easy to say, I'll do it later, tomorrow, next week. It's so easy to let the less important things distract us, to use up our time and energy on things that aren't quite as important. It's so easy to respond to immediate things that take our focus off the most important things. It's that famous story of the time management talk to students and a guy puts some rocks in a jar and says, is it full? No. Then he puts pebbles, then he puts sand, then he puts water. He says to the students at the end, well, what does that tell you about time management? And one of the students said, well, it tells you you can always fit a bit more in than you thought. And he said, no, that's not the point. The point is you've got to put the biggest thing in first, or else it's not going to fit in. What's our biggest thing? When we know Jesus, what's our biggest thing? Well, Jesus. Somebody asked Jesus that question. Mark chapter 10, Jesus' answer was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. In other words, that's the most important thing for us to do. Loving God includes time worshipping him, not just here for a bit on a Sunday, but all through the week. It includes talking to him and listening. It includes sharing how we feel inside and listening to his response. It includes studying the Bible, coming to church, serving. first into our life with our energy and our time. Do you know, getting to Devil's Bridge wasn't crucial. I'm glad I've been. But my life hasn't dramatically changed because I did. But putting our relationship with Almighty God, who made us and loves us and saves us first, does change our lives. Maybe this morning you just need to think about how you make sure God is first in your life, not squeezed in or squeezed out of your life. The third thing God said to me when we were away was about the sea. Now, for those of you that know me fairly well, you won't be surprised that God talked to me about the sea. You know, I love the sea. As soon as I get inside to some sand, I can't wait to get my sandals off. Get at least my feet in the water. It just calls me. It's there. And it just calls me to it. It doesn't seem to call David and Emma quite the same way. They can somehow manage to walk along the beach without going in the sea. I don't understand how I'm living with people who don't see the same call as I do. I've got a choice. Do I amble along the sand with David and Emma, looking at the shells and encountering the dogs? Or do I leave them to hold my sandals and go for it? Well, you can probably guess. I've got countless pictures of me stood in the sea. We've even joked that on my funeral order of service, that's going to have to be one of the pictures of me stood in the sea with my arms out, just thrilled because I've got there. Do you know, on our holiday, I could easily have missed out by not responding to the call. I could easily have missed out by going along with people around me who didn't hear the same call, or hear it and ignore it, didn't hear the same call. Mark chapter 1, Jesus calls the disciples. It says, as Jesus walked along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Jesus called his disciples. His disciples had to choose between listening to the call and following Jesus, or staying with their own life. I know lots of people here have done that. Lots of people have responded to Jesus' call. But if you're here and you've not yet, listen to his call. Follow him. Choose him. You won't regret that. But it's not a once-only decision, is it? It's not a one-off. It's a daily choice. Daily choice to follow God's call. It's so easy to want to fit in with those around us. We don't like to stand out, we don't like to be left out. But if we fit in with the world, we're missing out on God. Let's not miss out. It may not be going in the sea, but following God, trusting him, following his call, regardless of what people around who make different choices are doing. Let's make sure we're following what he says to us. But then, because it's the sea, I've got two illustrations about the sea. We were really fortunate to have a second week away at the end of August. And this time, Adam, my son, and my sea buddy came with us. That puts a completely different dynamic on being on the beach. Adam is like me. So as soon as he sees the sea, he's drawn to it. One minute, we've got our feet just in the edge of the waves. The next minute, our shorts are rolled up as high as they possibly can, and we're in up to there, and then we're getting splashed. And there's even been times we've just got in fully clothed because we couldn't quite help ourselves. Not this year in Wales, I must be honest, but other years. This year, we stood on the jetty in Cricieth in the middle of a storm, with the waves crashing around us and occasionally over us. We waded into the sea in the ferry because everyone was still finishing their fish and chips, and we were sat by the sea, and it was just there. But I'd be rude not to. Got a buddy, someone who eggs me on a bit, somebody that we go in and share it together. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. We all need a buddy or two. Not to go in the sea with, but to walk the Christian life with us. Someone we trust, someone who accepts without judging, someone who listens and understands, who questions us and challenges, who sees the parts of our lives that other people don't, who remembers us and the details of what's going on and what has gone on and why it's important, bramble bushes. Too tempting to walk past them, they, you know, those big, fat, juicy-looking blackberries that just, when you touch them, they just drop off your hand, and drop off the bush into your hand. They were like that. So, we picked one or two, we ate them. I noticed they tasted lovely, but they tasted different to the blackberries I picked in Dunwood Park. I realised eventually that they had a slight bit of a salty tang to them. And I can only imagine it's because they're on the top of the hill right near the sea. So somehow, the sea, the salt in the air, however the science of it all works, somehow these blackberries that had grown on the top of the hill had absorbed some of the atmosphere, the environment of where they were. That can be good or bad, can't it? You can all absorb things, can be good or bad. So for instance, being around my dad has developed Emma's skill and enjoyment of puns and wordplay. Emma, when we pass a dog, what do we do?
Pause.
We pause. That's the level we're working at. You can question whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that she spent so much time with my dad that that's what she's absorbed. See lots of examples of children in school copying behaviour of other children. Sometimes it's when somebody's been rewarded for doing a brilliant job and everybody else thinks, oh yes, I could do that. Often it's not though, is it? Often it's they've noticed somebody doing something they shouldn't and got themselves involved. They've absorbed it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." We live in the world. We hear things, we see things, we have people we look up to. It's so easy to absorb things from around us. Maybe this morning it's a challenge just to check what we're absorbing, what we've taken on from our environment, and whether that's of God or of the world. The final picture from holiday is about rocks on the beach. So we spent, as we said, a lot of time walking on the beach, lots of shells, lots of seaweed, lots of rocks. Some really unusual colours and stripes and shapes. They're nice to look at, they're nice to throw in the sea. I don't know any more about them than that, really. But I do know someone who does. So I brought home one of the nicest looking ones that I saw, and I gave it to Cheryl, because Cheryl is someone who knows about rocks. Do you know God sometimes gives us things to pass on to other people? Just read to you from Acts chapter 9. Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so you will see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. This is on the road where Saul had been persecuting Christians, and then he met with Jesus. Ananias had been sent to help Paul and tell him what was happening and help him on his journey with Jesus. Sometimes God gives us things to pass on to others. It could be our experiences, which is why it's so important to share testimonies, not just in the testimony service. So encouraging to hear about God in other people's lives. It tells us more about who he is, how he reaches out to us. That's how I became a Christian, because I heard lots of stories of people who had met God and how he transformed their lives. Sometimes God might give us a song or a Bible verse, something that speaks to someone else in their situation. So good to hear from God through other people, especially when life is tough. Sometimes God might give us a picture, a word of knowledge, something we don't understand but think has come from God. I was at a church recently and a man came up to me at the end, someone I'd never met, and he said, "I don't know what this means to you, but when we were praying in the service, I felt God say this," and he gave me this picture of something that God had put in his head to pass on to me. It's always worth being careful about that, isn't it, about how we pass things on. I think God said, you're passing on something you think might have come from God. How fabulous to be part of someone else's journey. How fabulous to know that God has worked through you to encourage and challenge and inspire and equip somebody else. What a privilege that is. What a privilege. So that's my six pictures from holiday, which I'm going to go for 2 weeks, isn't it? That's just some ordinary things that happen, but some things that God encouraged me to think about in the everyday. Talks about our foundation, what our life is based on. Talks about responding to Jesus, continually. About putting the important things first. About having a buddy to walk the life, the Christian journey with you. About what we absorb from there, being aware of what we've absorbed from society around us. And about passing on to others things that God is saying to us. Jesus chose everyday things so people could relate to them. He wanted everybody to know and understand and respond to God and his love. And he wants the same for us today. However long we've known him, however much part of our life he is, do you know we never come to the end? There's always more. God is always reaching out to encourage us to learn more about him, to experience him more, to surrender more of our lives. So I don't know if you need encouragement or challenge this morning. I don't know if you need to stop something or start something. I don't know if you need to learn something new or remember something. Hopefully it's not just helped you think about how much you need a holiday. It's more about God calling us on to him. About God speaking in everyday things, but with big truths inside them. God speaks to each of us individually in our own situation, if we choose to listen and respond. Amen. So we're going to sing a song that reminds us who God is, and it reminds us why we should listen to him. We're going to stand and sing Waymaker. Did you notice he said he never stopped working? Let's take that thought of who God is, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. Let's take that thought of who he is into our prayers. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a Waymaker, a Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, a Light in the Darkness. Thank you that you never stop working. You never stop showing us how you love us. You never stop forgiving us. You never stop healing. You never stop giving us strength and peace and courage. You never stop giving us joy and hope. Lord, I thank you that you reach out to us. That in our bits of ordinary life from our holiday, that you've spoken to us about your love and your calling and the importance of putting you first. Thank you, Lord, that our lives don't need to be big and flashy and amazing to hear from you. You speak to us in different ways, in our different situations. Lord, I pray that in this time you can show us if there's things to stop or things to start. Encourage us, Lord, and challenge us. Show us where we're missing out by not putting you first. Lord, we bring to you our difficult situations, the things that concern us, our worries, our cares. cares, the burdens we're carrying for ourselves and others. We bring them to you, Lord, and please show us where you are in those situations. Also, Lord, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the ways we see you this week, this month, this year, through a Bible verse or a song, through something in creation, through a word from somebody else, a message at the right time, an answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you don't stand back and let us get on with it, but you come into our lives, all the ordinary, everydayness of it. Lord, we pray that you'll give us eyes and heart to notice you more, to see you even more in our everyday life as we go about our work and our home and our families and our hobbies. Help us to see you, help us to notice where you are, what you're saying to us, how you're challenging us, how you're encouraging us. Give us eyes to see you, Lord, and give us hearts to receive what it is you're saying to us. Not to miss out. Help us to respond.